Welcome to the Vanessa G Fitcast. If you think eating less is the answer to getting lean, or that you have to choose between having donuts and wine or having a body you love, well then girl, you are in the right place. Chances are you've fallen victim to diet culture's terrible advice on how to eat and exercise. But don't worry, this podcast is going to bring you actionable information so you can start transforming your body without giving up your life. I'm Vanessa Gillette, founder and head coach of Vanessa G Fitness and Nutrition. This podcast was born from my passion for helping all women create bodies they feel confident in. Thank you for tuning in and trusting me to support and guide you. Now let's do this. Welcome back to the Vanessa G Fitcast. I'm Vanessa Gillette, and here with me is
Omar Pozos. What's up, guys?
All right, today we are going to talk a little bit about flexible dieting. We're going to talk about intuitive eating, and we're going to actually introduce what I think is really the best approach to really reach your goals, whether that's losing weight or just getting healthier, gaining muscle, whatever it is, and really actually maintain those results without restriction. Because I think that's the magic. That's what everybody's after, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I love this one, Vanessa, because I wish somebody would have told me these things when I first started my fitness journey, because it would have changed my approach dramatically. I mean, it would have been a whole different story for me. So let's get into it. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I learned this stuff the hard way, so that's why I really hope that with these episodes, like, people will start to be able to, you know, not make the same mistakes that I made and that I know you made, and really be able to actually start their journeys by doing things right.
Yeah, definitely. Learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. So let's talk about what is flexible dieting. So flexible dieting, it's really just a way to essentially structure your diet to, you know, get to a result, whatever that result is that you're after. And you can actually create freedom using this structure of tracking macros. So that's where the flexibility comes in. There's no meal plans. There's no lists of foods you can or can't eat. You can have total flexibility with the types of foods you're eating. Essentially, if it fits your macros or your calories, whichever version of tracking you're doing, you are free to eat those things. But, you know, I think with that, there's a lot of misconceptions about what flexible dieting actually means. Like, I think thanks to social media and things. So, I mean, should we start with really like what flexible dieting is not?
Yeah, let's do that. I think that would be the best way, because it's such a drastic approach of what people think it is. So without confusing anybody, I guess the thing that comes to mind for me is the stuff that people post on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, right? So it's all the stuff that these influencers say and that all these people show that they eat. So they show all the junk food that they eat, whether that's, I don't know, ice cream or burgers or pizza or whatever. And they're like, hey, everybody, look at me. Look how ripped I am and look how great of a physique I have, and I can eat all these things that I'm telling you I eat and still look this good. In reality, I don't think that's the truth of it all, right? I think actually their diet is quite strict, but they tell you these things so that you can buy their, I don't know, their ebooks or their coaching or their one-stop shop fitness app, whatever it is that they're trying to sell to you. But I think it's not really about not really about eating a bunch of junk food and magically still reaching your goals. It's about kind of keeping that 80-20 perspective, meaning keeping your diet to about 80% nutrient-dense, healthy foods, and then allowing the other 10 to 20% of your diet to be from, I guess, traditionally unhealthy foods, if you want to call it, that you wouldn't normally think you could eat while you're still losing weight or gaining muscle, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, really flexible dieting, it's not what you see on Instagram of like, oh, you know, look at me eating all of this junk food and I'm still so shredded. I'm, you know, maintain, you know, 10% body fat, which is ridiculous as a female, by the way. That would be extremely unhealthy. But maintaining this like extremely low body fat percentage, eating all this food when in reality, it's probably just a marketing ploy. If it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, there's ulterior motives there, guys.
Yeah. Flexible dieting, it's a really great way to start creating a healthy relationship with food. I tend to see people take that like 80-20 perspective that you just talked about, Omar, and really turn it more into like maybe like a 50-50 rule, even if that, where, you know, really most of their food is actually more so junk food. And then what tends to happen is, you know, if they're eating all this, like, you know, not nutrient dense food, those foods tend to also not be very filling. Those foods tend to ignite more cravings. Those foods tend to give you lower energy levels. Like, they tend to affect you in other ways that in turn make it hard for you to stick to your diet and make it hard for you to get that result that you're after, which then results in people not reaching their goals. So really, like, with flexible dieting, what you're really trying to do here is just kind of create that freedom that I mentioned before to, you know, let you actually reach your goals without feeling guilty or shameful whenever you want to indulge on something like pizza or French fries or ice cream or whatever your favorite food is. Because really, as long as you're eating the right quantity of food, which the quantity would be measured in terms of calories, and that quantity that just supports you actually getting to your goal of whether it's, you know, losing weight, gaining muscle, getting healthy, or whatever it is. So really, like, if you want to lose fat, you're losing fat. And if you want to put on muscle, you're putting on muscle. You're getting to that place because you create the guide rails, essentially, by tracking your food and making sure you're eating the right quantity while still enjoying those things that you like to eat.
And one thing I want to point out, Vanessa, the fact that we're mentioning, you know, nutrient-dense foods instead of quote-unquote healthy foods, because that's super important to remember, you know, and I think you like to really talk about this, there is no such thing as a bad food, right? Mm. There is only nutrient-dense food versus foods that aren't so nutrient-dense.
Exactly.
So taking the category or taking that mindset of it's one or the other, mm-hmm, is an awesome approach, and it's something that flexible eating or flexible dieting kind of highlights.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly, exactly. So let's go ahead and jump over to talking about what is intuitive eating, because I really just want to kind of compare the two here for the listener. So intuitive eating, it's really essentially a way of eating by listening to your body's hunger and fullness cues and just using that to direct you to eat, you know, the right amount of food for your body. And those who are really, like, you know, pioneers for the intuitive eating mentality, and, you know, like, those who are typically very, like, as loud on Instagram about intuitive eating and promoting it, they often tend to hate on the concept of flexible dieting and tracking your food. Because, you know, they say things like, you don't need to track, you know, like, they'll just say, like, oh, you know, diet culture, like, if you're tracking your macros, you're tracking your calories, like, then you're just ignoring your body, and, you know, you're not honoring your body, and your body knows what it wants already. So, you know, if your body wants cookies and ice cream at 2 a.m., then, you know, have it. Like, that's what your body's asking for. That's what you should have. And, you know, if your body wants sugar and bagels, like, no problem. Like, you know your body. So, like, you can have whatever you want when you want it. And, like, no one should ever tell you otherwise. Like, it tends to also fall in line with the idea of, like, you shouldn't want to lose weight, you shouldn't want to change your body. And that I very much disagree with, because I don't believe that anybody should or shouldn't do anything. I believe in body autonomy. I believe that everybody is in charge of their own bodies. And if somebody wants to change their body, I believe, you know, as long as they're doing it from a healthy place, mentally healthy, physically healthy, then I think that you should be allowed to do whatever you want with your body.
Yeah. And I actually, be fair, I didn't know much about intuitive eating until we started digging in and doing, mm-hmm, a little bit of research on this. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that those people that believe in intuitive eating kind of shame or you know, try not to recommend flexible dieting?
Well, so that's a good question. And I think it really, you have to think about a lot of these people who are in that place where they're now, like, making that comparison to where they're saying things like, you know, tracking your food is bad and all these things. those are typically people who did track their food in the past.
Right.
And so they might have done it in a way that they just created too much restriction. They used the tool of tracking your food incorrectly, essentially, to where they became obsessive about it. Maybe they wanted to change their bodies, not from a healthy place, like I was just mentioning of, you know, I believe if you want to change your body from a place of health and place of, you know, you already love and accept your body as it is now, but you want to maybe get leaner or put on more muscle because you want to do that because you want to feel, you know, the way that might make you feel. You want to feel proud of yourself for going after goals and achieving them. You want to feel fitter. You want to have more energy, like whatever those reasons are that are unique to these people. Like, I guess just I could go on a ramble here, but really, I think just to answer your question is it comes down to the fact that these people have tried tracking their food before and it might have just like the approach that they took led them to being overly restrictive. They
obsessive
swung
almost
too far. Yeah. They swung from too far from one end to the other. And so now they're kind of like overcorrecting by being very like anti all tracking.
Yeah. That's I love that. And I'm sure you're correct, but cause for me, I'm like, you know, when I hear intuition, I'm like, I act like if I rely on my intuition, I act like a 5-year-old and I'll have, you know, ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you let me. But not because I'm not at that point or I'm not educated enough to rely on my intuition, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, that's where it's like I can speak from experience with this stuff. So there was a point in my life where, you know, back in college, I know I think I've talked in this kind of stuff many times. I think if you haven't heard this story yet, go back to episode 1 and 2 where I really tell my story. But, you know, essentially I was over restrictive. I kind of had like the foods you can or can't eat. And then that list became very small when in terms of what I felt like I could eat because I was eating 100%, you know, quote unquote clean. And so then with that, like bred a little bit of an eating disorder in me. And so I kind of overcorrected, swung from one end to the other by going full into intuitive eating. And, you know, I read the book on it. Like, I was gung-ho, like, intuitive eating. This is the answer. This is perfect. And the thing is, what did I end up doing? I gained quite a bit of weight in that process because, and I don't regret this. Like, you know, I think my journey, it's important that I did go through all this stuff. I think it's made me into the coach I am today. It's given me different experiences. But the fact is, when I started eating intuitively, I was eating, you know, whatever sounded good when I wanted it. I didn't have any kind of structure in place. So it caused me to gain weight because the fact is intuitive eating just implies that if you feel hungry, then you should eat. And you know what? That's a lot like saying like, if you feel attracted to somebody, you should go up and kiss them.
Well, that's kind of what I did with you. So here we are.
Something like that.
So not necessarily the worst thing.
But it's kind of the whole concept of like, you know, it's basically implying that like if you are on a diet, quote unquote, like you're, let's say you're trying to lose some weight. And so, you know, you're eating a certain number of calories intentionally because you know that that's kind of the amount that you should be eating to be able to reach your goals. That would be like saying like, okay, you're in a committed relationship. You're committed to that goal. You're committed to that boyfriend. But, oh, you know, that like box of donuts is out now at your office and you're like, oh, those donuts look so good. And you're deciding like, oh, you know what? Should I cheat on my diet? Should I have the donuts? And you think like, well, you know what? The donuts are there. I'm eating intuitively now. My body is telling me I should eat the donuts. I'm going to go eat the donuts. That would be like if I'm in this committed relationship with you and I walk up and I'm like, okay, that's an attractive person. Screw the relationship. Like, I'm attracted. Like, let's do this thing. That's basically what intuitive eating is.
And I'm just over here shaking my head, by the way. I'm like, oh,
I wish you guys could see his facial expressions right now. I don't think he likes this analogy.
I was going to tell Zoe, our dog. Zoe, go pack your bags. We're moving.
But really, it's like the whole idea of just like, I don't think that you should have to act on every physiological cue from your body. So like, you know, intuitive eating is implying like, listen to your body's hunger signals. Like your body just knows, your body will tell you. The fact is like, this is, you know, this is what distinguishes us humans from animals. Like animals act on instinct. Animals act on these like biological desires. While like humans, we have a prefrontal cortex that helps us make these kinds of logical decisions. We're interpreting these different signals from our body, you know, within just like the entire context of our lives and our environment to then actually make appropriate decisions so that then when you feel feelings of attraction, you can still make the logical decision as a human being to say, oh, I am in a committed relationship. I'm not going to act on that feeling. So really the whole idea of just like when it comes to flexible dieting, you know, you're tracking your food. This is just a way of educating yourself about food. It's not inherently restrictive unless you make it restrictive. Education is not causing you to have body image issues. Becoming obsessive with tracking, becoming obsessive with, you know, your food, what you're eating, how many macros are in different things, like that's when it can become obsessive, it can become, you know, a body image issue. It can develop eating disorder issues just like anything can. But it's not tracking your macros as a problem. And I know that can be hard to hear for some people who maybe have developed these issues from tracking macros. And I want to be very clear that I am absolutely understanding and I feel for that so much because I've been there from, you know, my past experiences of developing eating issues before. And I want to be very, very clear that I'm not implying there's anything wrong with you or anything like that. I just want to be very clear that just because you tracked your food and you maybe became a little bit restrictive and obsessive in the process doesn't mean that tracking your food is no longer a good thing. Doesn't mean that tracking your food is bad and doesn't mean that you should apply that to tell everybody that tracking your food is bad. It just was a tool that didn't work for you. It would be like, you know, like any other tool. If I decide that I'm going to go like hammer a nail into the wall and then I go and grab the hammer and I hit my thumb and I break my thumb and now I'm like, everybody, like I want to make an announcement to the world and tell everybody that hammers break thumbs. Do not touch hammers. Hammers are terrible. Like we need to ban all hammers. Hammers break thumbs. Everybody should know this. I think everybody logically would say, like, no, idiot, hammers are fine. You just need to use the tool correctly. So it's like the same kind of concept of like, if you use the tool correctly, it's not dangerous. And it can be very helpful. It can be a great way to hammer a nail into the wall, to use a hammer.
Yeah,
so that I could go sense. On a total rant with that.
What do you think about the people that just randomly grab, I don't know, MyFitnessPal or wherever other tracking calculator app is out there, that just inherently do it on their own based on their own instinct and never perhaps seek professional coach or or help or somebody that knows what they're doing with that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that's where a lot of those problems, you know, come from, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's why I put out all the videos. That's why I actually originally started our free Facebook group was so that I could house all of those free educational videos on like how to calculate your calories and your macros for your goals. Because you guys, like, do not use MyFitnessPal's numbers that it recommends to you. That is a terrible idea. Keep, just consider this perspective. MyFitnessPal is a app that promotes weight loss. All it cares about is that it can help people lose weight. So obviously it's going to use the more extreme calculations to try and ensure that people have a better chance of losing weight. So it's going to give everybody much lower calorie numbers, most likely, than you actually need. Because that's going to give them a better chance of like you very quickly seeing results and then you being like, wow, my fitness pal is awesome. My fitness pal works. But then you're not going to be able to stick to those numbers because they're too low for you. Your body's going to rebel. It's not going to work. Restriction breeds rebellion. It's, you know, just like if you, I don't know, are overly like restrictive to a teenager, if you like have a ton of rules and regulations, then guess what? Those teenagers end up being the crazy party kid ones.
Yeah.
Restriction and this kind of rebellion.
Yeah. This just reminded me, I was at work the other day. And I was, you know, I use MyFitnessPal and I'm tracking my food to for different reasons, but I've got some goals that I want to hit. But anyways, I'm using the app and one of the moms that I work with kind of, I guess, looked over my shoulder and looks at MyFitnessPal and she says, oh my God, you use that app? And I was like, yeah, you know, what, do you have something against it? Do you not like it or whatever? She's like, well, my friend's daughter is in a sorority at, I forget what school, and she's like, and from the minute she got there, they started counting calories and were obsessive about MyFitnessPal. She's like, and she, you know, a year after she went to school, she just looked so unhealthy and very thin and frail and this and that. She's like, I would never use MyFitnessPal. And I'm like, well, you know, do you think, have any of those girls ever worked with somebody that knew what they were doing? She's like, no, they just did it themselves. I'm like, well, maybe it's not MyFitnessPal. Maybe it's their approach and the lack of knowledge that these girls have. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that can be very similar to a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just, and it's, I think we've kind of rambled on this original question that you said, but just kind of to close that loop, it's basically like, if you need to learn how to use a tool, if you're learning how to use a hammer, it'd probably help you if you had somebody show you how to properly use that hammer so you don't break your thumb.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with using any tool, like tracking your macros, your calories. Like, it probably would be helpful to have somebody show you how to do it well, to do it correctly. But really, like, going back to the fact that flexible dieting, it is a form of education. And yes, like, if you are trying to reach a goal, like, let's say you're trying to lose weight, then there will need to be some level of restraint and restriction probably in the process. And I use the word restriction loosely because that can mean a lot of things. But there should be some form of restraint. But like, to the intuitive eating crowd, it's almost taboo to say like, oh, you aren't going to give in to your every little desire. Like, to them, they're like, oh, like, what? Like, you're not going to listen to your body and just give in to everything that your body's telling you? Like, you're going to, you know, make sacrifices to actually like achieve your goals you've made for yourself? Like, what? But that doesn't mean that making sacrifices automatically equates to just like misery and total just restriction and just hating your life. It just means that maybe you're not acting on every impulse. Maybe you're not having the treat foods every time it's presented to you. So, you know, like, for example, if I'm trying to lean out and I know that means I need to eat a certain number of calories, like I was saying before, then if I have, you know, a social event every single day of the week this week, then I'm probably going to, you know, think about, okay, you know, with my goals in mind, I'm probably going to pick and choose which of these events I'm going to have some alcoholic beverages at and which ones I'm just going to kind of stick to the sparkling water. And, you know, it's like, that's called being an adult and understanding that, like, you can't always just give in to every little desire. It's the same thing with, like, you know, you're a kid growing up, going to school. Some days you just don't want to do your homework. But guess what? If you want to get good grades, you're going to do your homework when you don't want to do it. That's kind of how it is with dieting. So, you know, if you're going to set goals and you're an adult and you're allowed to set goals, and if you consciously decide to set those goals, like, nobody's forcing you to lose weight, nobody is forcing you to get healthier, like, realistically, those are your adult decisions to make. So if you choose to make that decision, then it's important that you understand that that means that you probably shouldn't be acting on every single impulse to eat or drink every time you want to. And we're going to get into this a little bit more, but, like, you know, counting macros, it shows you how to feed yourself in a way that gets you to your goals, but helps you, you know, gets you to that place where you just like feel amazing in your body, but also allows you to enjoy the foods you love and actually live your life in the process. So, like, I'm just not really in favor of those who encourage people to just use intuitive eating if they've never tracked their food before. You know, like I talked about that before, I made that mistake in college. I swung really hard from one way to the other. I went from being overly restrictive and eating 100% clean to then jumping full force into intuitive eating and eating whatever I wanted. And, you know, it turns out, you know, trying to listen to your body is really hard when you live in this modern world that is designed to sell you food, which means that there is this multi-billion dollar food industry who is chemically engineering our food so that it is really, really hard to put it down. It is, you know, like, take potato chips, for example. The amount of science that goes into engineering a mass-produced Lay's potato chip, like, everything from the way that bag crinkles to the way that, like, chip perfectly crunches to the way it, like, slightly melts in your mouth.
I'm closing my eyes and picturing this, and it sounds delicious.
All of those little things, those don't just, like, didn't just accidentally happen the first time they created a potato chip. They go through so many design process iterations to make it absolutely perfect. Like, I remember I was, you know, reading about this, like, the food engineering process and, like, the types of words that they use to describe these different things. Ugh, gosh, I can't remember what all they are, but, like, there's, like, you know, there was, like, the melt-in-your-mouth factor, and there was a word for it. And it's, like, they actually, like, measure these things because they want them all to be so perfect. So this is not, we're not in the same world as we were, you know, hundreds of years ago when your food options were very limited and you probably could listen to your body a little bit because you didn't have all these interfering signals from this modern society we live in to where you have now this bag of potato chips that is like just simply the crinkle of the bag is sending, is creating these chemical responses in your body that are very, very confusing. It's no longer your body thinking like, do I need more energy right now? Do I need more caloric energy? It's your body thinking like the crinkle of the bag instantaneously means like, I don't know, all these just chemical responses that just happen in your body. So it just, I could really go on a rant with this because it, and it really, you guys, it's not because I'm like, just like mad about this for some reason. It's because this is why we have an obesity problem in America. You know, this is why there are so many American children right now who are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes when just 2 decades ago, type 2 diabetes was called adult onset diabetes because it was unheard of for somebody under the age of 30 to get type 2 diabetes. Nowadays, children are frequently being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes because of the food industry. And so when we go around and say things like, you should be able to just listen to your body and just your body's going to tell you how much it needs and when you should be eating and what you should be eating. That's not true. That's not, that doesn't apply in our modern society and world.
It's like,
that advice is not helpful.
It's like, how do you listen to your body when there's so much noise out there that's telling you otherwise, right?
Exactly.
That was a smart quote by me, by the way. Feel free to quote me on that one.
Hashtag quotable. But I do think that you shouldn't have to track your food for the rest of your life. That is not the point of this podcast, to tell everybody that like tracking your food is the answer and everybody needs to pick up MyFitnessPal and be glued to it for the rest of their life. You know, when you're in the nursing home, when you're 80 years old, you better still be tracking that butterscotch candy in MyFitnessPal.
It's like that Titanic meme. It's like, it's been 84 years that I've tracked my meals.
Yeah. So basically, like, I personally believe that, like, once you've learned about your food, because remember what we started talking about, that tracking your food, flexible dieting is an education process, you can get to that place where you can actually identify, you know, what foods are made up of what. You can see a food and identify that that is a, you know, combination of fats and protein. Like, you can, you know those things, and you also can reasonably eyeball portion sizes. So like you can identify like that's, you know, a half cup that's going to have, you know, roughly, let's say 20 grams of carbs. Like you can kind of identify those types of things for the most part, not perfectly, but like for the most part. Then you are at a place where you can absolutely never track your food and just start eating more intuitively. And I'm not going to say you're going to start intuitive eating because I just completely ranted about why I don't like the concept of intuitive eating. So I'm not going to say now you're going to go and do intuitive eating. Instead, I would like to do something. This is what I tell my clients is we move from tracking macros to mindful eating. And the difference between intuitive eating and mindful eating is that you aren't just listening to your hunger signals, but you're also using the relevant like information at hand to make mindful decisions. So for example, if I'm an intuitive eater, you know, I might like walk into the kitchen and, you know, like, okay, Omar just cooked up some food and I smell that food that he's cooking and I'm like, ooh, suddenly I'm like noticing a little bit of like an emptiness feeling in my stomach and I'm noticing like my mouth is watering and I'm noticing thoughts of thinking like, ooh, some food sounds good right now. And because I'm an intuitive eater, I'm going to decide that, oh, this is my body telling me that I need to go make a meal right now. But if I'm a mindful eater, if I'm eating mindfully, then I can, you know, completely just like understand the same exact information that I just said, you know, my my stomach's a little empty, my mouth is watering, I'm having thoughts that are like, oh, I should make a meal as well. But because I'm mindful, I'm also going to understand that, well, you know what? I also just made a really balanced meal an hour ago. And I know that the calories from that meal are still sustaining me right now because I know what went into that meal. I've learned about food. I kind of know about how many calories and about what kind of macros were in that. So I know that my body has plenty of energy. So I'm going to make the informed choice right now to, even though I kind of feel like temptations to make a meal, instead, I'm going to drink some water. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to kind of like remove myself from the kitchen. And then guess what? That feeling of hunger would probably pass because that was not a genuine signal for my body telling me it needs energy. It was a signal of my body smelling your food. That's what it was. So like another example would be like, okay, let's say I decide to have a bowl of cereal for breakfast. And then, you know, I have the bowl and then I finish it and I'm like, dang, that was really good. And, you know, as soon as the bowl's done, I'm already thinking like, you know what? I would really like another bowl of cereal. Like that was really tasty. I still feel like I might be a little bit hungry. And so if I'm an intuitive eater, then I'm just going to say like, okay, let's do it. Have another bowl. Let's go ahead and pour it in like another bowl. And guess what? That would probably turn into another bowl because let's be honest, cereal's not very filling. But if I'm a mindful eater, so I've learned about what goes into cereal, I recognize that cereal is purely a carb source. A lot of types of cereals are high in sugar. I recognize that like if I just had that cereal on its own on an empty stomach, then those carbs would probably digest very quickly and I would have probably a spike in blood sugar, which would just cause me to have these feelings of hunger, which are a little bit artificial because I'm getting the calories. It's just like the way that the macro composition of that meal was not balanced. So I'm just not able to really like understand that I got enough energy from that meal. So as a mindful eater, I might say, you know what? I feel like I want another bowl of cereal, but I recognize what I probably need are some proteins and fats to balance out this meal. So you know what? I'm going to make some eggs. And because I'm an educated dieter, I've tracked macros. I know what macros are in what foods. I can say, that's what I'm missing. That's what I need. And that's the best choice right now for my body and my goals.
Yeah, that's awesome. Does that make sense? No, it does. And I was when you were talking about that, I didn't want to interrupt you. But the one thing that came to mind, I mean, like you said, you have a deep knowledge of what this flexible dieting is and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes we kind of joke around and I'll throw like a spoonful of almond butter on my yogurt. I'm like, hey, Vanessa, guess how many grams that was? And you'll come within 5 grams of what it is.
I get it right every time.
You do get it right sometimes. So again, to your point, the way, you know, using macros to help you understand what portion control is and what a serving of almond butter is or what, you know, 3 ounces of chicken looks like, whatever that might be. I mean, that's the education that you need, right? Mm-hmm. What to me, the other thing I can relate it to is like financially being responsible. So how do you know what your budget is or how do you know what your expenses are? Or how do you know what your revenue is just in your everyday life? Mm-hmm. If you don't sit down and look at your bank account, if you don't sit down and I don't know, like I like to use Google Sheets. If you don't sit down and track this stuff on a Google Sheet, how the hell are you supposed to know, hey, that's past my budget or that's within my budget or I have $200 left to spend if you don't necessarily track that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But like you said, if you become obsessive about it, if you become just completely unrealistic about it and you're like, oh my God, I spent a penny more than what I should have spent. Now I feel terrible and I'm going to talk to myself like I'm a piece of shit, basically. Mm-hmm. That's where you start to kind of develop these bad behaviors towards food, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So really, I think just like the whole point of this episode to kind of wrap things up here is that, you know, for one, don't believe everything you see on Instagram. It can be really, really tempting to think that tracking macros is something that's like creating eating disorders. It's really bad for people if that's the kind of things that you're reading on Instagram. Or it can be tempting to think that like, you know, flexible dieting means that you just get to eat whatever you want and you're still going to lose weight because that's what you see from, you know, influencers who are promoting that idea. Or, you know, it might be tempting to think that like intuitive eating is going to be like this safe haven way to just like magically keep you from ever gaining weight if you just listen to your body. But really, like, none of that is true. So for one, tracking macros is a tool. Like any tool, it needs to be used correctly. Just like we talked about with the hammer. If you're breaking your thumb with a hammer, get somebody who's going to show you how to properly use a hammer. Same thing. If you're using tracking macros as a tool and you feel overly restricted and you're becoming obsessive about food, then get a coach who's going to teach you, you know, how to use macros to reach your goals by like using that kind of restraint instead of just being restrictive. And, you know, with flexible dieting, it's just a way of eating the foods you love and still reaching your goals. But it doesn't mean that you should just eat anything and everything you want. You know, if you try to get all your calories from junk food, like just because you're hitting your calories, but if it's all from junk, you're not going to reach your goals. So stick to the 80-20 rule. And then, you know, last thing, intuitive eating, like it's simply listening to your body. It's just not realistic. If you have never learned how to understand your body and how different foods affect it, then intuitive eating is not the approach for you. I'm not saying you have to track your macros forever. I'm not saying you even have to track your macros for very long. I think that just tracking your food for a period of time from a place of curiosity, from a place of learning, to learn about food, about what is in food, about how much you're really eating, and about how eating at different times of the day like affects how you feel, learning that kind of stuff. Then once you stop tracking, and you know, we can maybe talk about this more in like a different episode one day, like the actual step-by-step approach I take with my own clients to move them from tracking macros to eating mindfully. But once you make that transition, you can eat mindfully and never touch MyFitnessPal again and not have to worry about food ever again. You can get there.
I love it. That's awesome. My two cents on this, and I might need to make, at the end of each episode, I might need to make a what Omar learned section. but for this one, I really like just the fact that you guys, and again, Vanessa, I'm just kind of highlighting your point here. Instead of focusing on what you see on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, whatever that might be, I would say focus instead on the decisions that you yourself are taking on your physical health, on your mental health, on your spiritual and emotional health. Like, for example, you and I, Vanessa, are constantly talking about our goals, right? Within our relationship and business and career path, whatever. And we always try to put new ideas into action and try to practice new things that are going to help us become a better version of yourself. So that's what I would challenge all of our listeners to kind of start doing. And it's not a question of, you know, do you deserve something or do you not? It's instead, I'm going to focus on, this is what I want for my life. This is what I want to get out of it. And it's in my own best interest to pursue it in every which way I want to do it in. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly. I love it. All right, guys. Well, you know, like if you learned something too, just like Omar shared what he learned, I would love to know what you learned. So maybe shoot me a message on Instagram. Let me know what it is that you learned. And I would love to connect with you more. But we will be back next week. Thanks, you guys.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. If you learned something today, the best way to say thank you is to subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review in iTunes. And if this particular episode resonated with you, do me a favor and take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag me at Vanessa G Fitness so I can show you some love. All right, my carb queens, talk to you in the next episode.